Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting from deep within the heart of Liberty State, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. About Luke 17, 20 through 21, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And it truly is. Some translations, inside you, inside me, wherever we go. I have been alluding to this for a while. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we have the 4th of July holiday coming up, but over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about Christian persecution. And I'm going to be bringing on experts to talk about that. I'm also going to be talking about the tension here in the United States of America, something that everybody's talking about, but nobody really is talking about publicly. How polarized is this country? Will there be political violence? How do you analyze that, and what do you do about it? Today, I'm going to have somebody from Voice of the Martyrs on the radio show here a little bit later. And we're going to be talking about what's happening around the world, and then also what's happening here, quite simply, in America. I've seen personally the rise of persecution. And people say, "Oh, you Christians, just look at Christians are the most persecuted religious population in the world, period, bar none." And more people died in the last century, in this century, than all the centuries previously in Christendom. So there's a specific survey that was done on this in America. It came out in 2017. It's called Undeniable, the Survey of Hostility to Religion in America. And it's specifically talking about attacks on religious liberty. 2011, there were 600 documented attacks. 2016, 1,400. That number obviously has gone up today. But you're talking over double. And probably if we bring it up to 2019, maybe even as high as triple, just in the last decade of hostility towards Christianity and attacks on religious liberty. It's important, too, to not shy away from who we are as a nation. Very first governing document that united the colonies in 1643. May 19th, the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies, whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to enjoy the gospels of, and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace, to advance the kingdom of Christ. Now, there is a group of Christians out there that try to turn that into something nefarious, advancing the kingdom of Christ. Give it a nefarious name. It's called dominion. They say, "Oh, no, it's Christian supremacy." Listen, the founding fathers believed that because Christianity and the values, tradition, culture and heritage we brought here to America is what allowed the prosperity to happen, allowed us to save the free world in World War II, arguably World War I as well. And people are still trying to knock it. The atheist communist Chinese did a study, and some of you have heard me read this in presentations, some over the radio. I want to read this again because it is... Even those people we would consider, and I'm talking about the government of China, as our enemy, they even know. They did a study. What made America great? What made the West great? So here's the quote. "One of the things we were asked to look into was what accounted for the success, in fact, the preeminence of the West all over the world," he said. "We studied everything we could from the historical, political, economic, and cultural perspective. At first, we thought it was because you had more powerful guns than we had. Then we thought it was because you had the best political system. Next, we focused on your economic system. But in the past 20 years, we've realized that the heart of your culture is your religion, Christianity. That is why the West has been so powerful. The Christian moral foundation of social and cultural life was what made possible the emergence of capitalism. We don't have any doubt about this. That's a scholar from the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing in 2002. Now, on this June 27th, that still holds true. They know what made America great. It was the Judeo-Christian value system that has allowed the emergence of all these things. And what really, if we lose that grounding of history, it's easy to just start sharpshooting everything. And people that are not educated, not very well read, will come out and they'll say, "Ah, we don't need that." And so you ask them a simple question. What standard is your worldview based on? And you just have to ask the question, says who? Says what? Until they finally will break down, if they're intellectually honest, and say, says me. So it's your personal standard. Well, that can't hold if everybody's personal standard. You'd have chaos. The Democrats here in America, but also in Washington State particularly, have a God problem. You got fake Christians out there who try to say socialism is Christian. That was a communist KGB infiltration technique to destroy our churches. Antonio Gramsci actually brought this up. You can read about it. In fact, you know what? I tell you what, I'm going to find that quote here really quick, and I'm going to read this to you. Now, this was written way back, 70, 80 years ago, maybe even longer ago. Antonio Gramsci says this: "Socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. In the new order, socialism will triumph by first capturing the culture via infiltration of the schools." Has that happened in America? The universities, has that happened in America? Churches, has that happened in America? And the media, by transforming the consciousness of society. So undermining the morality of society. In fact, in the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx, this was published in February 21st, 1848, chapter 2, you can read it online. Karl Marx says, "Communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality." Think about the absurdity of that statement. You can't abolish truth because it's truth. You can't abolish it, but he thinks he can. I mean, just think about the absurdity, the logical absurdity. But that's what we're seeing the result of today. The presence or absence of a Y chromosome determines gender. In 99.99% of the cases, that is a biological fact. And yet, people are trying to deny that reality, to abolish that eternal truth. And they can try as they might, the truth still exists. Jesus Christ came into the world and he said, "I came into the world to testify to the truth." If you get this, you can have a great Thanksgiving discussion with your family. Because that is what we are seeing today. They tried to come in to destroy the church. They tried to come in and corrupt the church and make it a socialist gospel, which it never was. And now they realize they have a God problem on the left, and I'll get to that here in a little bit. People don't trust them because it's not... there's nothing there. There is no spirit. People know when there's what kind of spirits there. People have been given discernment. I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of people feel that. Now, whether they recognize and act on it is a totally different issue. But they feel it and they recognize it. And my sense is today, we are going to see Christians persecuted by other so-called Christians, but they aren't Christians. They call themselves Christians, but they deny the power. And that, I think, is one of the crucial things we need to talk about today in society. We need to reclaim objective truth and not be afraid of it. I see people apologizing. The left will attack them, they'll target them, and these people will sit there and apologize. You don't have to apologize for speaking the truth. The presence or absence of a Y chromosome determines gender 99.99% of the cases, period. Let's stand on the truth. The truth is on our side, and that is what has made this country great. And that truth has come from Christianity. The atheist, communist, Chinese recognize it. We need to reclaim it. It's who we are as Americans. No political parties. We believe the Constitution means what it says and the Bible means what it says. That was the foundational principles. And you had different denominations back then too, but they were core in their agreement of fundamental tenets. We need to be that again, especially in this day and age where persecution is ramping up and the tendency, the easy thing to do is to say, you know, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. When the answer to the question God asked way back in Genesis to Cain, where's your brother? And Cain answered, am I my brother's keeper? The answer to that question is yes. We are. And we need to embrace that as Christians. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, China. Well, they had a state-sponsored media outlet urging war against the United States. You have them cracking down on Christians in an unprecedented fashion. You have the protests in Hong Kong. And now 5G, the Chinese are trying to implement the 5G network, and military officials here in the United States are saying openly now, testifying openly, that the 5G network is designed to interfere with U.S. military communications in that band. So there's all kinds of concerns about the health effects of 5G. There really are. But there's also a national security component that is much less talked about and is now gaining a little bit of traction. And we need to pay attention. I mean, we really need to pay attention to this stuff. All right, also on the international front from the Middle East, the USS Boxer strike force with Marines has reached Iranian shores. Not they haven't gone ashore, but they're there, near. And when asked by Fox Business on Wednesday if a war was brewing, Deb Cofile reports that Trump replied, I hope we don't, but we're in a very strong position if something should happen. I'm not talking boots on the ground, he said. I'm just saying if something would happen, it wouldn't last very long. We got to be careful with this again. There needs to be a constitutional debate on this, a constitutional declaration of war. And oh, by the way, the Iranian people are not our enemy. In fact, one of the greatest revivals among Christians in the Middle East is happening in Iran right now. So you can't just nuke the whole country to glass because there's Christians that are there. All right, also on the international front, in addition to those Marines, apparently 1,000 U.S. troops were being added to another 1,500 troops in the region, apparently. So I'm sure there's probably a lot more that are there. All right, on the national front, Trump was going to start deporting millions, and he has now backed off that, apparently. We'll see where that goes. It's so frustrating when that happens. I wish he would not do that. But I understand some of the exigencies that he has to deal with. But we really do need to, if we give our word on something, we need to follow through. We need to follow through with that as a general rule of life and everything else. All right, on the national front, as I've been reporting here for the last couple of weeks, Antifa. Been conclusively linked, 962 social media accounts apparently whittled down from about 60,000, but these accounts were conclusively, irrefutably linked to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Jason Wilson of The Guardian, who's been attacking yours truly, and Huffington Post. And PJ Media has that article. This shouldn't surprise anybody when these guys don't denounce political violence from groups like Antifa, who are trying to foment things in America. Emerald City Antifa actually put something up on their site that was screen captured. It's a very direct threat. Why is nobody talking about this? Why is nobody doing it? Well, the mainstream media doesn't want to cover it, so we have to cover it. We have to become the media. Also on the national front, In God We Trust remains. And by the way, some people keep saying, the motto was only approved in the 1950s. Yes, it was approved in 1956. But the motto itself comes from our national anthem, the fourth stanza, when it says, "This be our motto, and God is our trust." Okay, so let's not just try to make this, this is a modern invention. It's not a modern invention. It was written into the national anthem 100 years plus previously to it being adopted in 1956. All right, also on the national front. Now, this is actually kind of funny. So you have this approach to things that happens kind of really subtly. So the National Park Service in Glacier National Park, and I actually took a screen capture of this, and I kept it for years, and now it's actually coming to fruition. It's pretty funny. So the National Park Service for Glacier National Park, okay, had put a sign up, and the sign essentially said that the glaciers, so it's right at the foot of the glacier, the glaciers will all be gone by the year 2020, okay? And I'm going to read the sign verbatim. Here's what it says. "The small alpine glaciers present today started forming about 7,000 years ago and reached their maximum in size and number around 1850 at the end of the Little Ice Age. They are now rapidly shrinking due to human-caused climate change. Computer models indicate the glaciers will be gone by the year 2020. And the very top of it, this sign in Glacier National Park says, "Goodbye to the glaciers." Okay, so that's what they did. Well, we're a year away from 2020, and there's been really heavy snowfall in Glacier National Park, so they very quietly removed the sign. And there it is, right? Snowflakes melting snowflake ideas. I love it. How ironic is that? All right. So also along that line, Heartland. And if you don't know about Heartland Foundation, they're really, really good. They have a lot of great conservative researchers. Heartland Institute. I always say foundation, but it's institute. And they do a lot of research on climate change and some other things. From a objective reality point of view. So they just published research and commentary that says Heartland brief shows no evidence of accelerated sea level rise since the 1920s. Now, this was the great Al Gore claim, sea level rise, and there's not going to be anything left, and the oceans are going to cover all the coastal cities. It's going to be terrible, right? And this policy brief titled "Global Sea Level Rise: An Evaluation of the Data," authored by Dr. Craig Idso, he's the chairman of the Center for the Study of Carbon Dioxide and Global Change, and there's a couple other authors as well. Specifically, according to the IPCC, their fifth assessment report, so this is the United Nations folks, TIDE folks, "It is very likely that the rate of global mean sea level rise during the 21st century will exceed the rate observed during the 1971 to 2010. Okay? These guys refute that and basically say the sea levels have just not accelerated as these people are claiming, and use science to do it. So it's a great article, a little bit technical. It's a great article, but check it out. Once again, refuting the absolute absurdity of this alarmism that keeps coming out. All right, also on the national front, a Google executive decried Trump's election, according to Project Veritas. This came to us from Breitbart. And these undercover videos reveal that Google is determined to prevent the re-election of Donald Trump in 2020 and is altering its products with this aim in mind. So what does that mean? They're altering intentionally the perception, the access to information to get you to behave a certain way. Now, I've told you, I told everybody about this, and you on Patriot Radio heard this among the first in the country, that they would try to introduce things to change behavior, activity-based intelligence. And here it is, admitted by Google. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it with something as monumental as a presidential election. Wow. Wow. All right. On one quick jump back up to the international front, the United Kingdom, there was a judge that resurrected essentially a 1930s German eugenics argument, okay, Nazi eugenics argument, saying essentially that there was a life that was unworthy of life because there was a mom who was mentally challenged and was pregnant, and this judge was going to force her to have an abortion. That was then overturned. And you can see in this article that talks about it from the New American, it was overturned, thank God. But that's where they want to head toward this idea of a life not worth living. And who determines that? I mean, my goodness, how frightening is that? We're revisiting the 1930s eugenics movement. But on a positive note, a court has ruled now that President Donald Trump can defund Planned Parenthood and will cut almost $60 million in taxpayer funding. About time. That coming to us from lifenews.com. You also had the defunding of $100 million in the grants from Health and Human Services at the federal level regarding fetal tissue experimentation. That's going to be stopped. You've got states around the country that are effectively banning abortion. And I know some business owners came out, New American published this, they came out and they said that that's bad for business to ban those things, but we're headed in the right direction. And we're going to see a there's blood in the land. We're going to see some pretty vicious attacks back in the other direction, not to mention the fact it's big business for Planned Parenthood to slaughter the innocent. All right, let's go next to Christian persecution. I want to go through a few different things. First of all, vaccinations now is becoming a religious liberty issue because they're going to use it to intrude on religious liberty. You have this suit going on down in Colorado against Craig Phillips. He's the Baker Masterpiece Cake Shop. He won the first round in the Supreme Court. Now they're suing him again because he wouldn't bake a cake of Satan doing a sex act. Like, you have to even – anyway, all right, so conscience is becoming an issue. Okay, I want to talk about a couple things. China. Now, over in China with everything that's going on – and this is coming to us from Zero Hedge. The Chinese government is doing facial recognition, feeding it into a database, stamping out any discussion. They're quite literally installing 2 million cameras, an unknown number of security bots. They have telescreens everywhere that are putting up the party line. This is George Orwell. They're using George Orwell's 1984 as an instruction manual in China. And unfortunately, some in the United States are advocating the same thing. So how does this play in with Christians? Well, eventually, they're going to try to put Christians on there, give Christians a low credit score, low social credit score, and you won't have access to schools, and you won't have access to businesses and all this, just like the Soviet Union did to the Christians. Only this is it on steroids. I mean, Stalin would have begged to have had something this invasive. I talked about earlier last week about how Facebook now is trying to determine based on off their social media platform behavior. So not on their social media platform, outside their social media platform behavior, and trying to evaluate who is a, quote, hate agent. Again, very clearly implying Christians. Well, WorldNet Daily also had an article today about Twitter is planning to flag, quote, abusive, end quote, tweets by top politicians. The highest priority is to protect the health of the public conversation, is what Twitter is saying. Wait a minute. The Supreme Court had a great quote on this, actually. The answer to speech you disagree with isn't less speech, it's more speech. That's what the healthy public conversation is supposed to be. And they're literally talking about downranking any that violate the social media company's rules. Offending messages sent by verified political candidates and government officials with more than 100,000 followers would be flagged with a notice. We're witnessing real time the things being put in place to persecute Christians. WorldNet Daily also has an article on the Democrats scramble to fix their God problem. The Democrat National Committee has hired a religious outreach director for the 2020 race for president. The God problem is that they don't believe in him and his power. And a religious outreach director is not going to fix that. I mean, unless he brings in a spirit of repentance and there's all this that happens. The problem that we're seeing right now is all of this, the election, the biased chaplain sermon, you know, and a chaplain of the military being, this is actual persecution in America. In America. All right, I want to jump down to the regional front. Liberty State is continuing. A lot of popularity behind it. And largely for this reason, we want to be able to pass on our values, culture, tradition, and heritage as Christians unmolested and recognize the history of this country. And those aren't the values of downtown Seattle, and that's okay. They can have their utopia over there. But isn't it likewise fair for us to have our ability to be represented in our values, tradition, heritage, and culture here? On the local front, City of Spokane Valley had another budget surplus and didn't raise property taxes again. Great job, City of Spokane Valley. That's the way to do it. One of the largest cities in Washington State, they can balance their budget, unlike Seattle. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has gone to Patriot Radio US. Like the page. Make sure you share with your friends and family. Get them to like it, too. Just one click. And if you get the opportunity, you can keep us on the air by going to VoteShea.com. Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. Well, I'm really excited about my guest today, Todd Nettleton. He's the Chief of Media Relations and the Message Integration for the Voice of the Martyrs, and he's also the host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio, one of the most popular religious radio shows in the entire country. Todd, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So for some of the listeners that might not be familiar with Voice of the Martyrs, what is Voice of the Martyrs? How did you get started? And what do you do to help persecuted Christians around the world?
Well, Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to persecuted Christians, and we were founded in 1967, so we've been doing it a little over 50 years now. Our founders were persecuted Christians themselves. Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs, was in prison for 14 years in communist Romania including 3 years in solitary confinement. And his wife, Sabina, was in prison for 3 years, including many months in a labor camp helping to build the Danube Canal. When they were let out of Romania, they were actually ransomed out of Romania by Christians in the West. And before they left, the secret police there took them aside. They said, Pastor Wormbrand, you're going to the West. You can talk about God all you want. You can talk about the Bible all you want. But don't talk about us. Don't talk about what we did to you. Pastor Wormbrand came to the West, first in Western Europe and then eventually to the United States, and he did exactly what they told him not to do. He talked about the torture. He talked about solitary confinement. Not just the suffering, though. He also talked about what God did and the fact that God was present in those dark places and that God empowered him even to love his tortures, even to love his enemies. So he told his story, but he also talked about the pastors and the Christians that were still in those prisons. And when he did that, Christian people here in America said, well, we want to help those pastors. How do we do that? That's really how the Voice of the Martyrs was founded. It was created to be a bridge between the church here in the United States and the church in hostile and restricted nations around the world. We're still doing that 50 years later. We're working now in 70-plus countries, delivering Bibles, delivering aid to persecuted Christians. Maybe that's helping the family of an imprisoned pastor so that his wife can pay the rent, so that his kids can stay in school. Maybe that's medical care for someone who's been injured in an attack. Maybe it's hiring a lawyer for someone who's been accused of apostasy or accused of some other crime. We do that. We provide Bibles, and we also equip and encourage frontline workers, people who are sharing the gospel in those countries.
Absolutely love your ministry and what you're doing. And by the way, American Christian Network, which is what we're broadcasting on right now throughout all of eastern Washington, North Idaho, and northeast Oregon, is the largest terrestrial Christian network here in this part of the country. We need to get your radio show on American Christian Network.
We do need to. Let's talk about that.
I love it. So let's talk about what you have coming up. And I don't know why this never happened before, but it's such a great idea, the Day of the Christian Martyr. Explain to listeners what that's all about.
Well, this is going to happen this coming Saturday, and June 29th may not mean a lot to most people, but in church history, it is considered to be the date when the Apostle Paul was beheaded outside the walls of the city of Rome. And so June 29th seemed like a great day to say, hey, let's remember not just the Apostle Paul, let's remember all of the martyrs, people who laid down their life for the cause of Christ throughout the ages. We have something at our office called the Martyrs Memorial. It's a large granite wall that has the names of people who gave their life for Christ. We're going to have a ceremony Saturday morning on the Day of the Christian Martyr to add three names to that wall. And we're going to put that on Facebook Live. We're going to make it available through streaming video. We're going to make it available to download on Saturday afternoon. We want people to watch this video, not because, you know, they'll see the Martyrs Memorial, not because they'll, you know, see Voice of the Martyrs, but because we want American Christians to really think about what does it mean to sacrifice? What does it mean to be ready to die for something that you believe in? How firm does your faith have to be to get to that point where you say, you know what? I would rather die than deny my faith in Christ. That's the challenge that we want to lay down for American Christians, and we feel like this is a great way to do it by talking about a family that went to Afghanistan after 9/11. They uprooted their comfortable life in South Africa. They moved to Afghanistan. I had the chance, in fact, it's on our podcast right now on BOM Radio, to interview the wife of this family, and she said even people in their own family said, no, you are not hearing the voice of God because God would never ask you to take your children to Afghanistan. And they said, no, we are hearing the voice of God, and he's calling us to go and serve the Afghan people. They went, they served for more than 10 years, and in 2014, their home was attacked by the Taliban. The father, Werner Groenwald, was killed in the attack. The two teenage children, Jean-Pierre and Radee, were also killed in that attack. Hannah Lee would also have been killed, except for the fact that she's a medical doctor. She had been called to work that day. There was a UN meeting in Kabul going on, and they really thought that's where the attack would happen. And they had heard you know, some intelligence. There's going to be an attack. And they thought, oh, we've got this UN meeting going on. So they asked Hanalei to come and be on site to care for the wounded. Well, the attack happened that day, but it was at her home, and her entire family was wiped out. And yet, she was able to forgive the attackers. She still loves Afghanistan, loves the Afghan people. So she has a great testimony to share, and we're going to honor her family this Saturday by adding them to the Martyrs Memorial.
And you're going to make this into an annual event. And how can Christians watch live streaming, or what can we do to help participate?
They can. Persecution.com/martyr. Or if you just go to the main Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com, you will see front and center the Day of the Christian Martyr. You can register for that. We'll send you a video. We'll send you a link when the video is available. You can also watch on our Facebook page on Saturday morning. It is 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time, so 7 o'clock up there in Washington. I know that's early for some folks on a Saturday, but it will be available for download Saturday afternoon. And we would encourage you, don't just watch this by yourself. Watch it with your family. Watch it with your Sunday school class or your Bible study group, and really talk about what it means to sacrifice for Christ.
I really want to talk about that issue, about what it does mean to sacrifice for Jesus. You know, here in America, we're very comfortable. We do suffer persecution sometimes in our jobs, and sometimes, but it's nothing like what is happening in other areas of the world. America has always kind of been the exception to the rule. Could you talk a little bit about how people, particularly in China, Iran, North Korea, are sacrificing today?
Well, there's a great example from China, and it just happened last month. It was a church, an unregistered church in China. They have what they call the registered church, which is approved by the government, but in order to get that approval, you have to say the government comes first and our Christianity comes second. So there's the approved church, and then there's what we call the unregistered church or the house church. And a significant house church that has existed for 70 years was closed down last month by the Chinese authorities, and it was a process. They've closed down four very significant unregistered churches in the last year, all of these churches running hundreds of people every weekend. So here's the process. They set up cameras outside of the church building where all the meetings took place. They hooked those cameras up to facial recognition software, and they started tracking who's coming to these services. What time do they get here? What time do they leave? And they can identify, okay, where do they work? Where do they live? And communist officials started showing up in those people's houses and then sitting down in their living room and saying, hey, do you like having a job? Because if you want to keep having a job, you need to stop going to these illegal religious gatherings that we know you've been going to. We've got the pictures. We've seen you there. If you like having a job, you need to stop going to those services. So Christians there were faced with this choice of, wow, do I deny my faith? Do I try to get along with the Communist Party? Well, when that didn't work, that didn't close down the church because Christians kept going. Last month, they just said, okay, no more. They put a lock on the building. They said, no more meetings. We will not allow you to gather together. That's just one example of what's happening in China. There's another pastor that was arrested last December. He is still in prison. In fact, nobody knows where he is. The Chinese government hasn't said where they're holding him or what the charges are against him or how he's being treated. That's reality for Christians in China. And like you say, it's something that is very, very foreign to us as American believers.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Iran, too. I have heard some of the stories that have come out of the Middle East. I personally served over in Iraq, and I heard the stories of Christian conversions that were happening over there, and the growth of the Christian church was exploding in Iran. And now there's talk of potentially war between the United States and Iran. What are Christians in Iran facing right now?
I had the chance earlier this year to meet with Iranian Christians, and I can't go to Iran, and they can't come to America, so we had to pick a third nation to be able to gather together in. But here's the good news. The fastest-growing church in the world, according to the tracking at Operation World, the fastest-growing church in the world is in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And you hear that, and maybe your head sort of explodes a little bit, like, wait a minute, how is that possible? I have had multiple Iranian Christians tell me that the greatest missionary in the history of Iran was the Ayatollah Khomeini. And you hear that again, and your head kind of explodes, and you say, wait a minute, how is that possible? Well, the Ayatollah Khomeini led the Islamic Revolution in 1979. He set up a government that said, we are going to do everything exactly according to Islamic principles. We are going to run this country exactly how Muhammad would run it if he was still alive. We're going to run this country exactly how the Quran says that we should run it. Well, fast forward 40 years, the people of Iran look at their country, they look at their government, and they see one of the highest drug addiction rates in the world. They see corruption in the government. They see a country that is broken. And they say, if we're running our country according to Islam, and it's done all this damage in 40 years, Islam doesn't work. What else is out there? What are the other options? And so there is a fertile soil and a fertile heart in Iran open to the gospel. I had an Iranian tell me several years ago that if you are in a public place and you just say the name Jesus out loud, multiple people will come up to you and say, did you say Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know about Jesus? Could you tell me more about Jesus? I've heard of him, but I don't know all the details. Could you catch me up? There's that much interest and that much hunger because the people have rejected Islam in their hearts. They have seen that it does not work, and they are hungry for something else. And the gospel is just filling that void, and it is coming at a cost, though. There are multiple Christian leaders and pastors in prison right now in Iran. The women face terrible conditions if they are arrested. In fact, when I met with an Iranian Christian earlier this year, he talked about the fact that him and his wife have talked about if they get arrested, what happens if she is raped in prison? And they've literally sat down, and I can't even picture having that conversation with my wife. But that's the reality for Christians in Iran. So the church is growing. There's great excitement and great blessing. But there is also that persecution and that price that is being paid by our Iranian family members.
And then, of course, we have North Korea, which is probably the most repressive regime in the world, or at least in the top five. It's very hard to even get information out about what's happening there, and stories usually are years later when we do hear them here in the West. What are you hearing about what's happening in North Korea?
Well, the good news is there is a church in North Korea, and I know that surprises people, but there is a church. But as you say, it is the most restricted nation. The description I like to use is North Korea is a prison camp. Everybody is in prison there, but Christians are singled out for the very worst treatment. And the reason for that, and it's so important that people understand this, the North Korean regime is established not only as a government, but as a religious structure. They have the father, Kim Il-sung, and then they have the son, Kim Jong-il. When he died, now it's Kim Jong-un. And children are taught when they sit down to a meal at school to say, thank you, Father Kim Il-sung, for our food. So it's not just a matter of saying, hey, this is how we're going to run our government. They have really set it up as a religion to worship the Kim family, to deify the Kim family. And so if you come into that and you say, well, I don't worship, Kim Il-sung, I actually follow Jesus Christ, it's not just a matter of, hey, you're trying to bring in a foreign religion, or even you're trying to bring in an American religion. It is you're undermining the veracity of our government. You're committing treason because the message that you're bringing undermines the Kim family. It undermines the very foundation of how we have set up our country. So they cannot allow that to happen. Kim Il-sung himself, when he was still alive, said Christianity is the only threat to our communism. He understood very clearly, we have to keep Christianity out. So that's why if you're found to have a Bible in North Korea, you are probably going to die. And it will probably be fairly sudden and quick. But not just you. Your parents and your children are going to be taken to concentration camps as well, because they want to make sure we've got to wipe this out of our country. We've got to get three generations to make sure we get it at the root and don't let it flower in our country. That's the level of persecution that's happening. So Christians there meet oftentimes two people. Two people is a full church. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, God is with you. North Korean Christians say where two or three are gathered, one of them is probably a spy. And so very small meetings, oftentimes only family members, because you don't trust your neighbor, you don't trust the guy who lives down the street, you don't trust your coworkers. And so it is very secretive, very hard to share the gospel, but there are radio broadcasts. The Voice of the Martyrs is actually launching balloons across that border that carry New Testaments so that North Koreans can have the scriptures. And one of the radio broadcasts that we sponsor, and this is one of my favorite projects that we have for North Korea, all it is a North Korean defector reading the scriptures very slowly and deliberately so that people inside North Korea can write down what they're hearing. Because for most North Koreans, that's the only Bible that they're going to have. So we have a radio broadcast, and that's all it is somebody reading the Bible very slowly so that people can write it down on the other side of that DMZ.
That's incredible. Wow. And we have air-conditioned padded pews here in America. But I do want to shift gears to this country. I was in Ethiopia with the ministry in November. I was in Argentina in May. And talking to pastors on the ground there, it was very clear that they were praying for America because they kind of see America, some of the things happening in this country, as not being helpful and in a lot of cases being antagonistic toward Christianity. With your perspective, what are you seeing happen here in America, or what are you even hearing about in this country? Because I think a lot of times people forget about us.
You know, I think we see a need in the American church for people to rise up. Frankly, it's one of the things that we're excited about, Day of the Christian Martyr coming up this Saturday, is for American Christians to really think about, what does it mean to sacrifice? What does it mean if the society around me is completely opposed to what I believe? How does that affect me? How do I minister in that environment? Because, like you say, we start to see some things in America that are concerning and say, wait a minute, I thought we had freedom. I thought we had religious freedom here. So one of the ways we prepare, and I think I have been doing some speaking at some of our conferences, and I say we American Christians need to get ready for persecution. Now, I'm not saying that we're all going to be persecuted tomorrow, but what I am saying is if we're ready and persecution starts tomorrow, then we're ready. If we're ready and persecution starts 25 years from now, we're still ready because we got ready. So the key is how do we prepare? And I think one of the things that we need to do, and I have tried to put this into practice in my own life, is we need to be more committed to God's word. I met with an Iranian Christian who had been sent to prison, and he said he was sent to prison with about six other Christians. And so one of the first things they did when they got to prison is they got an empty notebook and a pencil, and all of them wrote down the parts of scripture that they had memorized. And that empty notebook that they all wrote the scripture they'd memorized in became their Bible while they were in prison. And if I remember correctly, he was in prison for 3 years, and that was his Bible. I can't imagine, I wonder among our, we have a Bible study group that meets together. I wonder if we gathered a blank notebook and handed around with a pencil and said, okay, write down all the scriptures you've memorized, how much of the scripture would we have? That's one of the things that I think American Christians need to do, like I say, to prepare, whether it happens tomorrow or it happens years from now. We need to be more committed to God's word, and that means reading it, it means memorizing it, it means studying it, and putting it into practice. I think that's one of the ways, obviously that strengthens our spiritual life, whether we're persecuted or not, but it certainly is one of the first priorities if persecution is really coming.
Well said, and I think, too, for just for us here in America to hear that, it shouldn't be a matter of fear or anything. It should be, like you're saying, it should be a matter of encouragement and motivation to get out there and make things happen. And so that's the kind of last question I really wanted to ask you today, is what can Christians do to stand with all these other folks outside of America? I know the Day of the Christian Martyr is one way, but you have a lot of Americans who just like to pray but not like to act. We want to get folks to act and actually stand with our brethren and our sisters overseas that are persecuted right now.
Well, the first thing I would tell people is to pray. And that's not me talking. That's actually the Christians around the world that we serve. And we ask them, okay, we're going back to America. We're going to talk to American Christians. How can they help you? The first thing they say, every single time we ask that, the first thing they say is pray for us. And the interesting thing and really convicting thing to me is they're not asking us to pray that they won't be persecuted anymore. They're not asking us to pray that their government will change and will suddenly accept their faith. What they're saying is pray for us that we'll be faithful in spite of the persecution, in spite of the suffering that we go through. So number one is pray for them. Number two, then, I think is educate yourself. And Voice of the Martyrs has some tools. We have a free newsletter at persecution.com. We'll send that to you every month. We have an app for your phone that will give you a new prayer request every day. We have a website that will email you prayer requests every week. If that's how you prefer, listen to Voice of the Martyrs Radio. One of my last questions every single episode is, okay, how can we pray for your country? So pray and then educate yourself so that you can pray more effectively and pray more knowledgeably. And then I think the third step is, as you're praying and as you're learning more, God is going to lay some very specific ways that you can respond on your heart. And maybe he's going to have you write letters to Christians who are in prison. We have a website that will help you do that. Maybe he's going to have you send Bibles to one of these countries. Maybe he's going to have you get on an airplane and go to one of these countries. But that will happen as you're praying, as you're learning more. God's going to open some doors. And he's going to ask you to do some things, and then it's just a matter of, are you going to be obedient or not?
And that's it, isn't it? Just to being obedient to what he is specifically calling us to in that moment. I love it. So if you could plug the website one more time, and also if you could end with a message of encouragement to maybe some of our younger Christian listeners out there of the millennial generation.
Well, the website is persecution.com, persecution.com. There's information about Day of the Christian Martyr. There's a link to the free newsletter. There's a link to VOM Radio if you want to listen to that. And young people, I love talking to young people. I tell you what, this is something that I would share with young people. We love heroes in our culture. We've just come through NBA final season, and Steph Curry is amazing. And I love watching Steph Curry play. He is a hero in the basketball world. But we as Christians have heroes as well. And in fact, we're going to honor the Gronewald family on Saturday. They are heroes of the faith. They loved not their lives unto death, as Revelation says. They were more interested in serving Jesus than in being safe and comfortable. They are heroes. So I would encourage young people, learn about the heroes of our faith, just as you study the heroes on the basketball court or the heroes on the baseball field or the politicians in the White House. Learn about the heroes of our faith and try to follow their example as you serve the Lord the way he calls you to serve.
Todd Nettleton, Chief of Media Relations and also the host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio show. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio. We've got to get you on ACN. We've got to get you on American Christian Network. We'll talk about that in the interim, okay?
Awesome. I would love to have that happen.
All right. Keep up the great work. God bless you, and I'd love to have you on again.
I would look forward to that. Thank you very much.
All right. And once again, persecution.com. Go there. Take a look at it. Voice of the Martyrs is one of the groups that I really follow closely. Save the Persecuted Christians is another. Both really give you an idea of what's happening around the world, how you can focus prayer and be effective, how you can actually stand with our brothers and sisters being persecuted mercilessly in some cases overseas. And what great testimonies. I talked about Mitsuo Fushida, the story in World War II of one of the guys that planned Pearl Harbor. He was eventually captured and taken to a prison of war camp in the United States of America. And this lady would come every day, would give him a little bit better food, give him stuff to read. And he found out that she was the daughter of missionary parents who the Japanese army had captured and had tortured and had eventually killed. And before they killed him, her parents wrote her a letter and said, always love the Japanese people. And that's what she was doing. True forgiveness, true love, even with spies and informers and just treacherous people out there, and people that are just wanting to do that to the point of killing you or hurting your family. What a witness that is of Jesus Christ. So check out Voice of the Martyrs, and if you also get a chance over this weekend, go rent or go online. I think on Amazon it actually might be free with Amazon Prime. Go check out and watch the movie Tortured for Christ with Richard Wurmbrand, who started Voice of the Martyrs. Another powerful testimony that we can all learn from, and it's that important. We're coming up on the 4th of July holiday next week, and as we do, and over this weekend, I would just ask everybody that's listening to Patriot Radio today, if you get the opportunity, take some time with your family, sit down with your family, block everything else out. Cell phones are gone, everything else is gone. Pray together, read the Word together, and just open up to the Lord what the Lord puts on your heart to do. God, what do you want me to do? What do I need to bring before you that's in my life that's not of you? And repent of that and lay it down at the foot of the cross. Invite Holy Spirit to be there with you as you're doing that with your family. And really listen, not just pray the whole time, but really listen to for what God is putting on your heart. And talk as a family. What's God putting on each family member's heart? And get that direction that the Lord wants to impart in all of us as we celebrate independence in this country. But it was independence so that we could fulfill the commands of Jesus Christ to go preach the gospel to all creation, to make disciples of all nations, and to show tangible love to our neighbor. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me once again on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.